This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, salat salam ala Rasulullah. Welcome and continuing the Tagalong Takeover with Ammar Ashukri. I've got here Bilal Khan, who I'm sure you're familiar with. And we are going to be going over three of my favorite names or group of names, which is Al-Ghafir, Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghaffar.
Al-Ghafir, Al-Ghafur, and
Al-Ghaffar.
Al-Ghaffar. Tag along takeover. I like that.
Yep. And so all of them, of course, carry the connotation of Ghufran, forgiveness. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who's the most forgiving. And this is important for us to remember always because we are human beings and we sin. We fall short. That is our human design. That is the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla made us. Otherwise, he would have made us into angels and we wouldn't have fallen ever.
Yeah.
But he made us into human beings. And so a person can never, no matter how much that they fall, a person can never let despair creep in. Because despair in and of itself from the mercy of Allah is a sin.
Okay.
Right? And so we recognize that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the most forgiving, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who loves to forgive. And as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, if you were to not sin, Allah Azza wa Jalla would remove you, he'd replace you with another creation that would sin and seek Allah's forgiveness so that he could forgive them.
Now, one question comes into my mind is in relation to Allah's attributes of forgiveness and Rahman, Rahim, and Rahman and all that. Are there more names describing his mercy than there are describing his anger?
Names?
Yes.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're along.
I don't even know of a name that describes his anger.
Ash-Shadeed al-Iqaab.
No. Those names are debated.
Why are they debated?
There is no name. There is no name as Shadeed al-Iqaab. There's none. He's Shadeed al-Iqaab. So now you're coming into issues of attributes versus names.
Okay.
And so Allah's names, a rule is that they have to carry a perfect connotation in and of themselves.
Okay.
Some hold another opinion that they'll say that the names, as long as they, when combined, carry a perfect connotation,
okay,
then these will be names. So for example, a famous example is Al-Mu'izz Al-Mudhil.
Okay.
Al-Mu'izz is the one who gives honor. Al-Mu'izz is the one who debases and humiliates and subjugates.
Okay.
So the scholars will say, well, when you put these two together, okay, we agree that Al-Mudhil, the one who humiliates, that's not a perfect connotation. Right? The one who humiliates, the one who humbles.
Right.
Right? That's not a perfect connotation of Allah. But they'll say when you put these two together, Al-Mu'izz Al-Mudhil, then the picture is complete. That he honors this and he debases that. Okay. But standalone, it's not.
So he's not just Al-Mu'izz.
Al-Mu'izz in and of itself is a beautiful connotation, right? It's perfect.
Okay.
He's the one who gives honor.
Gotcha.
But Al-Mudhil, right? The one who debases and humiliates.
Okay.
So some consider that to be a name because they said it's combination together.
Okay.
But others, they said, no, it can't be a name.
Okay.
Right? And there's no, it's not showing up in the Quran in that format or anything like that.
Gotcha.
And even Shadeed al-Iqaab, that's not a name. It's an attribute.
It's something that he does.
Something that he does.
Okay, it's not who he is.
It's not who he is. Or it's not a name, yeah.
Okay. It's interesting. So that brings it, maybe it's just...
So Allah becomes angry.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have Al-Ghadban. You don't have that as a name.
So he has these attributes, but that's not his name. Gotcha. So anything that might be perceived as a negative thing is not really actually his name. Gotcha. But he has the ability to be that.
He has the ability to...
Become that.
Become that.
Or do that.
Or do that.
But it is not, is that.
Exactly.
Got it. Interesting. I never actually thought about
that. Yeah. So you have these three. You have Al-Ghafir, you have Al-Ghafur, and you have Al-Ghaffar. And again, it comes back to this concept of when you recognize that these are the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that this is what he loves to do. He loves to forgive. You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gave as one of, and maybe this will actually serve better in At-Tawwab, but they're all related, that, you know what, as Muslims, you know, we've done a really bad job in describing who Allah is, both to Muslims and to non-Muslims, right? And so when you ask non-Muslims about who Allah is that we worship, you know, they get this image of this tyrannical dictatorial God, right, who's
oppressive,
commanding you to dress a certain way and prohibits you from consuming a lot of the pleasures of this earth and is just very, very restrictive. However, you know, and even Muslims, they look at that because they're given a list of halal and haram, do's and don'ts. Otherwise, Allah is going to be angry with you, right? So this is the way that they view Allah Azza wa Jal. However, the person who studies Allah's attributes and goes through these conversations that we're talking about,
yeah,
that person comes to the conclusion, they see that, you know what, Allah extends his hands during the day to accept the repentance of the one who sins during the night. And he extends his hand during the night to accept the repentance of the one who sins during the day. The most vivid example I know of Allah's happiness that has been struck for us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the example of the man who lost his camel.
Okay.
This is a guy who, you know, like I imagine like a 2-hour movie, right? Guy's at the beginning, he's embarking on a journey. The beginning of the movie, he's filled with hopes and aspirations and everything is going great.
Yeah.
Somewhere near the beginning, act one or act two, or according to Bilal, however you define these things, he loses his camel.
Okay.
In a moment of, distraction, he loses his camel. And then he goes through all of the emotions that a person would go through when they've lost their camel. You tell me what these emotions would be.
It would be worry, loss, fear of death.
At the beginning, it's hope, right? He's looking for the camel. Okay, it's right across.
Like in terms of, like, well, at first, be like, oh, snap, what happened?
Okay.
Right?
Shock.
Shock, yeah. And then after that, okay, let's find this camel. You grab that bull by the horns. Let's look for him. Trace the steps. Keep finding. It's like a detective story.
Okay.
And then what happened? Why did it happen? What's going on? What led to this? And then finally, it's like you're exhausted. Your supplies are running low.
It has his supplies on him. He has no supplies.
Well, whatever he has with him, right? In terms of his own level of hydration and energy.
So this guy is going through all of these emotions,
yeah,
right? And after some point in time, it sinks in that, you know, the despair doesn't matter. He's going to die. Yeah. And so he sits down waiting for death. And then all of a sudden, what does he see in front of him? He sees the camel. And in that moment of euphoria, absolute joy, he screams at the heavens and he says, oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. And the Prophet ﷺ says he made that mistake because of how happy he was. And that example is the example that the Prophet struck to show us Allah's happiness when a person repents to him. When any one of us just decides, I'm not going to do this sin anymore, I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness. That is how our Lord reacts to us, or that's how our Lord responds to us approaching Him for forgiveness.
Okay.
That's al-ghafoor. That's al-ghaffar. That is al-ghafir. And so it's very important that we communicate to people Allah's forgiveness. We communicate to people, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ فَضْلًا كَبِيرًا. Allah says, give the believers glad tidings. What? That they have great bounty from Allah. Great grace from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's all there for you.
You just have to ask for it.
Just have to ask for it. You have to take a step towards it. Yeah. Really quickly, just before we end though, just a couple of things that you can do to get Allah's forgiveness. Number one is being good to Allah's creation, taking care of Allah's creation. Allah Azza wa Jal forgave.
Water those plants, folks.
Water those plants, yeah. Water those plants. Allah, famous story, the Prophet ﷺ says that a woman who was a prostitute, she was forgiven because she gave water to a dog.
Yeah.
Right? So she's being good to not just human beings, but watering the plants, taking care of animals, taking care of any of Allah's creation, inshallah ta'ala, is a cause of forgiveness of sins. Number two, extremely important, if you want Allah to forgive you, forgive someone else. Whoever it is right now, ask yourself the question, if I forgive this person, and through me forgiving this person, Allah is going to enter into Jannah, am I still going to forgive this person? Like, that should be a no-brainer. No matter what they've done, no matter how deeply they've hurt you, forgive them.
Mm.
And expect, inshallah ta'ala, and hope that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to forgive you through that. Number three is removing obstacles from others. You know, there's a beautiful story. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that he saw a man just tumbling in Jannah. This guy was just somersaulting and all that. And what did he do that was so impressive? There was a piece of a tree. There was some sort of obstacle on the road and he just decided to move it.
Yeah.
And that was it. And Allah thanked him for that. Allah appreciated that. And he entered him into paradise because of that. So whether it's physical obstacles or whether there are other obstacles that exist in a person's life or people's lives, if you have the ability to remove them, then do it. And the last is...
Now, would this count as physical obstacles or what about just in general?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Not just physical obstacles as well.
You know? Okay.
Again, you will get from Allah what you expect. And so whether it's physical obstacles or whether it's, what if I live in a place like, you know, Houston, Texas, mashallah, where there's never any physical obstacles on the road and everything is just clean and perfect and taken care of. What if I'm in a place like that? Then I, you know, whatever spiritual obstacles are in front of people, financial obstacles, whatever it is. Mm. And I hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will, through that, accept that from me. And number four is just doing good deeds, right? Because good deeds, they remove sin.
Do good deeds.
Yep.